The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is the way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Today we listen to the speech of Hujjatul Islam Salim Yusuf Ali.
Respected scholars and elders and brothers and sisters, عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بالحسين عليه السلام. The title of the series is Karbala, the Enlightened Journey. Now that is a generic title, but inshallah you'll see in the course of the nights, those of you who will be with us, that these words were chosen with precision, meaning that there's something we're going to describe about Karbala and enlightenment. Now, in order to introduce the topic, I want to take us to the years leading up to the tragedy of Ashura. And we want to evaluate what's happening in the Muslim Ummah at that time. From some perspectives, if we were to look at history, things were actually going pretty well from some criteria. You know, when you want to evaluate something, what's really important is you have to see what criteria are you using to evaluate. Because depending on that, your results are going to differ. So from some criteria, things were going pretty well. For example, if you were to take a poll and statistics and you say the number of those who had memorized the Quran in the Muslim Ummah from the time of our Prophet to the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you'd see that the graph is increasing. People were memorizing the Quran. People were gaining more familiarity with the teachings of the Quran, at least on an outer level. There were people who were living beyond the Prophet's time, meaning that they lived past the Prophet, people who were the writers of the wahi of the Quran, meaning that they could tell stories about how different ayat were revealed at different times. There was people who were living at that time who could tell the stories of what happened in Badr and Uhud and Khandaq and all these Ahzab, all these great battles. They could tell these stories. You could go and meet these living legends. People like Ammar, people like Salman, at least for some time, they were alive. From some perspective, things were going well. The mosques might have been full at that time. The Quran was being read. There were even people who were there who, let's say people didn't understand the position of the Ahlul Bayt being the divine representatives, at least they could go and say that these are the family of the Prophet. And they could go and they could see them, they could interact with them. Right? Things were, from some perspectives, they were looking pretty good. But you and I know that at the same time that these apparent manifestations of Islam, maybe they were going in a good direction, at the same time there was a deep sickness that was growing in the Muslim Ummah at that time. And it's this sickness that I want to kind of dig into. I want to try to see if we can use a word to describe this sickness. But in order to do that, I would like to first take us to the Quran, where Allah Ta'ala, in four verses of the Quran, He mentions a particular term, which inshallah we're going to be using throughout the course of these lectures. What is this term? Let me mention a couple of these ayat. The first one is Surah Al-Ahzab. Allah Ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرُّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. This command is for the wives of the Prophet, specifically, where Allah Ta'ala tells them that you stay in your homes. Right? This was a special command for the wives of the Prophet. And then he gives another command, which applies to the wives of the Prophet first and foremost, but then also it's a general command, which is what? Do not do tabarruj. Tabarruj comes from the word buruj, like towers, right? You know how they're very apparent. You can see them from far away. Allah says that don't do things so that you are visible like towers. Now, then He describes those particular activities that would make a lady, a female, visible by saying that that is the type of activity that belongs to al-jahiliyatil ula. Jahiliya, of course, means the era or the mannerisms of ignorance, the lifestyle of ignorance. That's ayah number one. Ayah number two, Allah Ta'ala is describing in Surah Ali Imran what happened in the Battle of Uhud. Now you know from Islamic history that Battle of Uhud was a difficult battle for the Muslims. Because at one point, you know, they were in the lead and then things went completely the other way and they ended up losing a lot of casualties. Even some thought that our Prophet, our beloved Prophet, had been killed, and there was a lot of grief that took place after this battle. So what happened? Allah Ta'ala describes the people at that time, and He says that there was a group of amongst them, قَدْ أَهَمَّتْهُمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ. There was people who were thinking and they were suspecting and thinking and they were bringing back the beliefs of the era of ignorance, the Jahiliya. Okay, what's the story behind that? It's very interesting. There were some people who had a very black and white understanding of the way this world works. They used to think that, look it, if you just, all you got to do if you want to make it in this world is you got to find the right God to connect to. Right? So let's say, for example, the stone god is your good luck god, then if you go to that stone god, then you're going to find success in everything that you do. You'll win all your battles, you'll get all your trade the way you want it, and you'll even get married on top of that. Everything's going to be good for you. Okay, but if it doesn't work, then you go to the wood god, maybe that's going to work for you. So they used to think that depending on how you chose your god, you just connected to the right, you know, sort of deity, then success is guaranteed for you. So they were thinking that, okay, we know that our Prophet is the Prophet. We know Islam is the religion. So then, well, of course we're going to be victorious. Everything we do, we're going to find success in. What was wrong here? The thing that was wrong in their thinking is that now when they started to see that failure, they started to think that, hey, maybe we didn't connect to the right deity. Right? Maybe this whole approach of trusting solely in Allah and letting Him determine the results is not the right approach to take. So Allah reveals a verse and He corrects their thinking. Don't go back to that way of thinking. Now you're supposed to be elevated in your thinking. You have one source, one mudabbir, one entity that manages your affairs, one entity in which you trust, one who is in charge. But you should know that one who is in charge acts according to wisdom and according to a certain system. At times you may see success. At times you might see apparent failure. But as long as you're doing your duty, you are still successful. So Allah corrects their thinking. And there's other ayat as well that I'm not going to mention right now. But what I do want to say is that in the Quran, at times Allah warns people that now that you have Islam, don't go back to Jahiliyyah. Jahiliyyah, the era of ignorance, as you can see from these examples, it can apply to the way we do things, our actions. It can apply to the way that we perceive things, our beliefs. And in other examples, it can be in the way that we construct our ethical system, the way we see our values. All of them can fall under Jahiliyyah. Now, it's very interesting, brothers and sisters. You know, there were people who would read these ayat of the Quran and they would memorize them and they would think about them and reflect upon them, and sometimes they would have a question. So in this case, I'm sure there's a question that came to many of your mind, which was the following, that why is it that Allah describes the Jahiliyyah as being al-Jahiliyyah al-Ula Why does he describe it as being the first Jahiliyyah? What does that mean? So this question was posed of the Ahlul Bayt to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. And in riwayat, in ahadith, in narrations were told, in a few of them, they say that the same way that there was a time of ignorance, there was a period and a lifestyle of ignorance, the same way that there will come again a period of ignorance as well. And in one tradition, we're told that our Prophet says that that second period of ignorance will be worse than the first period of ignorance.
Oh, Hussein, you'll live forever in our hearts and in our minds. I swear to Allah, unto my last breath, I will remember Hussein. Hussein, you'll live forever in our hearts and in our minds. I swear to Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.